I don't know about you folks, but with the weather that we have had, I feel like the baseball player Yogi Berra. I'm having deja vu all over again. It's taken me back to 2010 and the flooding that happened then, right down to the fact that it was happening mostly on a Saturday. We all know people who have been affected by this flooding. We mentioned, but not specifically, but our friends at the Defeated Creek congregation had several months ago suffered severe damage to their building in a more local flooding situation. They've been working daily on their building, spent some $25,000 to get it ready to go again for worship, and were just about to reopen, and then the building was hit and damaged again yesterday. Some of you maybe have seen the pictures of the Pinewood Church building, which about 9:30 yesterday morning was covered in water literally up to the roof line. They had to rebuild back in 10, and they'll have another rebuild in front of them. And then, as we've mentioned, there are our neighbors over in Humphreys County that have had it much worse, because not just property has been damaged there, but people have been hurt and even killed. The last number I saw was 10 confirmed dead in the Waverly-Humphreys County area, and depending on where you look, 20 or 30 who are missing and unaccounted for. And I just thought, while we have this subject of the weather so much in our minds, let's take advantage of it. And let's look into the Word of God and see if there's anything we can learn, and see if there's any way we can grow here. I have a friend in ministry that says, never waste a good disaster. And so if we can learn from this, then that will be part of what God is going to do, as he brings all of these horrible events together somehow for good in our lives. And so I've put aside what I was planning for Matthew all week, and I wanted to pull out a message from Revelation. We had done this message back in 2018 in our series of messages from Revelation. And the title of the message is Whether or Not. And the focus is, what can we learn from the weather, and especially the natural disasters that take place around us? Now, I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 8 and a couple of verses from chapter 9. And as we read, you're going to hear a whole lot of symbols, and it's going to be intimidating, to say the least, to hear these words. But now, you folks know me. This is a deep subject, but I've got a shallow mind. Okay, so we're going to get Revelation for Dummies this morning, and we're going to bring this right down to some things that are simple and that we can confirm and that we can be sure of and that we can learn from this passage. So as we have it overhead, I think, Revelation chapter 8, let's begin at 6. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down on the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels. Let's move now to 20 and 21 of chapter 9, if you're in Revelation with us. This is chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols they cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Now, there are a lot of commentators who have made some valiant attempts to wade through and interpret all of the symbolism that we just read. Some of the attempts have come up with some pretty good results, and many have not. But there are a couple of things that we can nail down about these verses and this symbolism. Number one, we can nail down the fact that when we read about trumpets in apocalyptic literature like Revelation, we know that trumpets sound a warning. And number two, we know this. We can safely think of these events that I was reading about here, indicated by the sound of the trumpets, as natural disasters which happen in this world and affect the land and the fresh water and the sea and the atmosphere around us. That is an assumption that is reached by almost every major commentator on the book of Revelation. So when we take these two things together, we take the idea that trumpets warn and that the events that were sounded and indicated by these trumpets were natural disasters, thunderstorms, floods, forest fires, drought, tornadoes, hurricanes, ice storms, earthquakes, erupting volcanoes, that kind of thing, then we can learn something very important. God wants to use natural disasters like the one we are facing to get our attention and to teach us some things. And if we are spiritually discerning, we will learn the lessons that God wants to send during events like this. Let me mention three such messages just simply and briefly. What can we learn from what we are facing in our area right now, these floods? Number one, violent weather can instruct our learning. Violent weather can teach us something. When weather turns sour or even worse, violent, the way it has, God is trying to teach us some things. And one of the things that he is trying to teach us is this. He wants us to understand the far-reaching effects and consequences of sin. When Adam and Eve had introduced sin into the world, God came to them, and this is one of the things he said, Genesis 3:17, the ground is cursed because of you. The ground was not cursed before their sin, but it was cursed after their sin, and their sin changed the world. And now the land, the water, the atmosphere that we live in are under this curse of sin. The curse was still in effect when John wrote Revelation in around AD 95. And it's still in effect today. The ground, the water, the atmosphere have all been tainted by sin. Here's what Homer Haley says about this passage in his Revelation commentary. God created the good earth for man's benefit and use, and out of it his life is sustained. But man has misused the earth, and now it is affected by sin. It has become a partial waste and man's enemy. As some can testify, nature is not always the defender of life. Sometimes it is the destroyer of life. Sin adversely affects everything that it touches. Hoyt Kirk was my baseball coach at Freed-Hardeman. Hoyt is still alive. He's in his 90s now, but he is a great Christian man for years and years and years, the preacher at the Linden Church of Christ. But I went through four springs with Hoyt Kirk, and we're trying to play baseball games in March and April and May, and you know that means we're going to see some interesting weather trying to get those games in. And several times during those 4 years, we'd be chased into the dugout or even to the bus, and we'd be wading through strong thunderstorms, and sometimes the lightning would be popping and the bus just rocking from those winds. And I can remember on several occasions Coach Kirk looking out the window and saying to himself and whoever might hear, sin sure has made this world a dangerous place. And you know, that's how we need to look at events like this. Now, we don't need to falsely accuse God like Job's friends did, remember? We don't blame things like this on God. We blame who deserves the blame, and that's us and our sin. And when I'm tempted to sin, I need to remember sin is not a light thing. Sin is a serious thing. And not only does it hurt me and my relationships, and not only does it hurt society, but it has affected the physical, material world around us so that things like this flood can happen. Violent weather can instruct our learning. It can remind us of the far-reaching, devastating effects of sin. Number two, violent weather can not only instruct our learning, but it can increase our longing. When it's sunny and 70, and there's a nice, pleasant breeze that's moving, and the birds are chirping and everything is beautiful, we might get a little mesmerized and say, you know, I just want to stay right here in this world forever. But when the sky darkens and the weather threatens, and the winds howl and start to bend the trees over, and lightning strikes and thunder claps and startles us, and floodwaters start to rise, it becomes easier for us to remember that we're just strangers and pilgrims and visitors on this planet. When weather turns violent, it's easier for us to say with Paul, it's better to depart and be with Christ, Philippians 1:23. And it's easier for us to say with Paul that we long to be at home with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. Weather like this can make us long for that place where weather like this doesn't happen. I read sometime back in Reader's Digest about a family, and they had a beloved family cat. Her name was Tabby, and Tabby died. Mom was trying to find a way to share the news with her four-year-old daughter and to kind of soften it a little bit. And so she got her little four-year-old and she took her hand and she said, now, honey, Tabby has passed away and gone to heaven to be with God. And that little girl processed that for a minute and then said, what would God want with a dead cat? Why would heaven want us, and why would we want heaven? Well, when disasters strike around us, we're reminded of something very, very important, and that is this earth, as good as it can be, and it can be good, but this earth is not our safe, hospitable, forever home. And when things like this happen, we can be reminded that that home does exist and it is available to us, but it's not here yet. Violent weather can increase our longing. And then third and finally, violent weather can and should improve our living. It should improve our living. When we read from chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, the purpose of God allowing things like natural disasters to happen in the world becomes very clear. The point of all this is it would get our attention and it would cause us to repent and to turn to God. God wants us to learn that He is our only refuge. When things are just sailing right along in our lives and in our world just as we want them, we can start to get this false sense that we are in control of things. And when something like this happens, we can and should be reminded we control very, very little in this life. We're not in control. Our text here in Revelation and the headlines declare that we are never totally safe and secure in this world. Not on land, not on water, not in the air. And if we're wise, we'll let these disasters remind us that God is our refuge and God is our strength and God is our help in times of trouble. As the Bible says in Psalm 46:1. Let's be clear about this. God hopes that his loving kindness can cause people to repent. That's what he wants. Romans 2:4, the kindness of God leads you to repentance. And God shows us his love and his kindness and his grace in thousands of ways, climaxing, of course, in what Jesus did for us on the cross. And God prefers that this sinful world respond to his loving overtures. That's what he wants. But if we don't respond to that, he doesn't give up. When all else fails, God will allow trouble to come into our lives to get our attention. God is trying to do for us what all loving parents do. We want our children to be their very best, and so we love them, and we hope that that will be enough to keep them on the right path. And if it's not enough, then we warn them of some consequences that are going to come if they misbehave. And if the warnings are not enough, then we allow those consequences of misbehavior to be delivered. Because we hate them? No, the opposite. Because we love them. And God says, I will love you enough that I will do whatever it takes to get your attention and to cause you to come to me as your refuge. Or as the Hebrew writer says it in Hebrews 12:6, those whom God loves, he disciplines or chastens. Michael Wilcox says this about this passage in his Revelation commentary. Let it never be said that God has not done all in his power, even to the devastation of his own once perfect earth, in order to bring men to their senses and bring men to him. The problem, of course, is those of us who have already repented are forced to live in this world where there are a whole lot of people who still haven't given God their attention nor their repentance. And that's part of the difficulty that we have in this life. And so whether or not, the question is, are we as a church, are we as a world going to learn what we are supposed to learn from events like this? Will violent weather instruct our learning and increase our longing? And will it improve our living? Would you bow with me and let's close with prayer? Father in heaven, Coach has already prayed from his heart and so eloquently about those who have been affected negatively by this flood. And Father, I just add my voice with his, that you'll bring comfort to those who've lost loved ones, that you'll help those who've suffered property damage to rebuild. And if there's anyone even now that is in need of rescue, that they'll be found and that they'll be saved. But Father, on another level, I want to pray that we as a world can begin to learn the spiritual messages that are found in events like these. And hurricanes and tornadoes and forest fires and earthquakes, and tidal waves, and on and on and on. And Father, we know you allow these to happen because you want us to understand that you are our only safety. You are our only refuge. And you are the only thing that we can count on always being there. And Father, many in this congregation I know have already received that message, and we're all in, but so many in this world have not. And we pray, Father, that this message would be learned and received, and that it would change people all around this area and all around the world. But Father, if this weather has affected someone who has never repented, who has never turned from his or her sin, who has never come to you through your Son as their refuge and as their hope and as their safety and as their Savior. And we pray that you will encourage them and embolden them to make that good confession and be immersed for the forgiveness of their sins this very morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come right now as together we stand and sing?